Podcast, episode 198, Ask Us Anything, Flamenco Edition. Please note, Swing Jazz Edition will be up later. I'm Saverin.
I'm Foss Wolf, and I'm confused.
And I'm just Shiva. I'm somewhere.
And you're L-shaped.
Yes, which is confusing.
Just Shiva.
Back once again for another episode. It has been a week. A week of many trials and tribulations and silliness.
Very much silliness.
Silliness?
Well, not really. We've been rearranging here at Notcast Towers, and Panther's gotten some dental work done, sharpening his fangs for when...
He bites you.
Yeah. Did you know you could have scruff piercings? No.
It's a hard life you lead, isn't it, Saverin?
Oh, I totally.
Let's see. My I voted ears. This week.
Good.
I went out and hit up the early voting.
Good for you.
Yeah, because it ended today.
Yes,
today I did yesterday. Being Friday, November 2nd, 2012.
And election is fast coming up.
Yep.
I'm worried. I'm really worried.
I'm not.
538.com gives Obama an 80% chance of being reelected.
Well, maybe it's the news agencies trying to build up tension.
Well, that's their whole point. See,
the news agencies base it on polling, but 538 is actually a statistical projection based on multiple polls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And since it's a projection, it's not a poll, it's a little bit different. But basically, they think he has like a 60% chance of taking Ohio, which gives him, his swing state gives him enough electoral votes to carry it by like 10 over what he needs or something like that.
Plus, it's in the media's best interest to make it appear like a horse race.
Mm-hmm. Because then they build up tension and...
You know.
Yeah. I know. It's exciting.
We're in Texas, and we don't matter, unfortunately, in the grand electoral scheme. We are a popular vote, but our electoral votes are going to go to whoever has an R next to their name, no matter what.
That's kind of a shame, that when you are a given, either pro, con, whatever, you don't get a lot of attention paid to you.
Nope.
You know, they'll broadcast you a little bit just to make sure that you stay interested. But
the only ads we see are in-state down ticket races.
Yeah,
but where we get to see crazy ass Tea Partiers and.
I mean, did Obama and those guys ever come to Texas, or did they not even bother?
Don't know. I'm sure he may have come through at some point. But
I don't know.
Unfortunately, Texas is so far entrenched. That it'll be a couple more generations before Texas even has a chance of going anything but Republican.
That was one thing about living up in New Hampshire, is we got so many of those bastards come through. I mean, just...
Oh, with New Hampshire right after the Iowa caucus, it was like a
big deal. They were part of the primaries.
Yeah.
So we were the first hit. We were usually heavily campaigned to. They would all come up through here. And... New Hampshire is a really low population state to try and market to. And that's how I got to meet Dan Quayle. He had the softest hands. They were like butter. You could tell this man hadn't done a day of work in his life.
Butter.
They were soft and smooth, very ladylike hands. It's like, oh my God, I don't think you've ever even held a power tool.
Only this one. No.
but it was just
these guns.
I have my servants handle all my tools, including that one.
Well, it's not a power tool, so yeah, but
it's a shed. Oh.
So yeah, that's how I got to meet Dan Quayle. He came to our school. Yep. They had a rally.
But yeah, next week, just think, Fuzz, Tuesday night.
Oh boy, it's a pity I don't have live TV.
That's wondering if
you
any.
Don't?
I don't have cable.
You don't give regular television reception, digital receiver?
I haven't tried it at the house.
You should be able to get local channels without a cable box.
Does anybody actually have cable? I mean, I used to, but I got rid of it.
I think we should probably just like watch some Doctor Who or ponies or something to distract us, and then at 9 o'clock the polls are closed, 10 o'clock it's all over. You know, and you'd be like, oh, well, you know, that so much for that.
God, I really...
I think we should have a political party where we all dress up and, you know, you can be the economy and I can be a Republican and I can fuck you.
And you know that somebody out there is drawing Rule 40, 34 of this.
Yeah.
Saverin's in like a dollar bill. You're whatever. You with like that oil baron shoestring necklace.
Yeah, I say, my boy.
Yes.
Doesn't this feel familiar?
I'm going to use some of my light sweet crude to lube you up. I'm going to fill that pipeline. Oil baron innuendo.
Yeah. How very Texan of you.
You refine my load with your mouth.
So, yeah. Other than that, I mean...
Your name's Houston. Oh!
So... Beyond that, I mean, we did have that. We're just going to just go right into the...
JR screwing.
Dallas, the XXX Hustler Party.
I wonder if we could...
It's like on AdamandEve.com.
Actually, I'm pretty sure it is on Adam and Eve.
There probably is a... Yeah.
But yeah, my week's been really nondescript. I mean, other than that.
Same adjective, second week in a row. Just saying.
Huh?
You said nondescript last week, too.
Yeah, true. Well, let's see, okay. I had to go out to Fort Worth and rescue the contents of the Corolla that my sister was involved in the wreck in. Panther had the oral... He had the teeth deep cleaning.
Mm-hmm. It's good to get that every couple years or so. We had a regular cleaning once a year, but it's good to get, like, the deep cleaning.
Yeah.
That makes your teeth ache, though.
I need to have it done myself.
But... It's a little more unpleasant, but it really gets some crud out from, like, deep in your gums.
Yeah, I probably got some gnarly shit in my teeth. But, yeah, it's just not a lot. I am getting set up, sort of, with the ACX stuff. Audiobook Creation Exchange. It's an audible.com thing. Got message from Kyle and all that. But I also noticed I had two offers come in and then expire, like, immediately for functionally men's fat fiction.
Really?
It's like, yeah. It's like they were sent in and then expired in, like, 30 minutes or whatever, because it was just like a flash. We're sending this out to the first person that gets it.
Uh-huh.
And I had to look it up, and it was, like, $1.50 Kindle editions of these fap stories, and they needed a sexy narrator to talk about John's massive throbbing erection plunged forth into her love chasm, spewing his mighty load of...
He filled her with his mighty juice.
His man yogurt. His ramrod. His... Baby makers.
My name's Stanley, and this is my drill.
Oh, God. That's... My ex used to... Because we do stupid furry nicknames, and he used to call it the kitten maker. It's like, fuck you, no! That's horrible! No!
Not as bad as calling it a puppy maker in a gay story.
My puppy juice. Deep under your tail. Like, but I'm gay! Too bad!
Oh, man.
Welcome to Impreg. This story took a weird turn.
On the Rainforest one, Ricky or Keo said tongue punching your dirt star. And I think I'd heard that before, but it was a long time ago, and I was just like, oh, God.
Dirt star?
Yeah.
Oh. Putting your spoke in the rusty wagon wheel?
Yeah.
Wow. That's...
Tongue punching your dirt star.
Chocolate starfish.
Yeah.
I always like chocolate starfish.
Because it sounds delicious.
Yes. Like, and it's not. It is so very not.
You just want to eat it.
No. No.
Vomit.
Fucking get your tongue in there all the way to the tonsils.
Oh,
So how about that wow, Shiva? Pretty wow, huh?
Yes. Let's
see. Is the slash rim command working on the Worgen yet?
Slash bollocks and they clean themselves. Yes. What are the benefits of being a werewolf?
Man, I'd never leave the house. Boy, my balls sure are clean. You can eat off them. In fact, I suggest you do.
I've laid out a buffet.
A buffet of manliness.
Yes. Wait till you get to the kielbasa. That's real good. Oh, cock! That reminds me.
It does?
No, that was sort of your reaction there. It was like, oh, yeah!
Penises.
Oh, the PS3 that died last week?
Uh-huh.
Turns out it's just the hard drive in it that died.
Yay.
So, one of our listeners, Rahada, actually loaned a 40 gigger to test it out with.
Oh, cool. He'll be in town this weekend.
So, when I can afford a hard drive, I'll go out and get that and ship that back to him.
Well, what kind of hard drive does it take?
It just takes a little mini. It's like
a laptop?
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
I just don't have the $60 to drop on.
But not a solid-state hard drive at all?
No, no. Nothing
regular IDE one?
Yeah, nothing that fancy.
Okay.
So, it'll get that back to him at some point, but at least that's all it is, and the whole thing didn't die.
Yeah. One that size would not be expensive to replace if you went to, like, the first Saturday sale or something like that.
Yeah, the problem with first Saturday is you never know if when you get home it'll actually work.
Yeah, that can be a problem.
Yeah, so I
first Saturdays. But that's good news, though.
Yeah, so we got the new dryer delivered.
Oh, good, good.
That was exciting getting up the stairs.
You guys didn't have to do it, though.
No, Sarah and Siam got it up the stairs.
Oh, God.
If you had it delivered, why did they carry it up the stairs?
Because my manager at work loaned me his truck to pick it up from Best Buy.
So they didn't deliver it.
It is so worth, like, the $40 to have somebody else.
It was $80.
It is so worth the $80.
I didn't
Your stairs are steep.
I don't have the $80.
Yeah, I was like, holy
They're not maneuverable.
I didn't have the 80 to get it, but I needed a dryer. So, yeah.
Mm.
And it was I remember it was a bitch when I lived on that third floor apartment getting all of our shit upstairs.
Oh, God.
Visiting you was annoying.
Luckily, I didn't live there much longer after we met, I don't think.
Yeah. Y'all moved off of that area really fast.
Well, there was, like, stabby people there, and it seemed safe.
You were in Garland, dude.
We were actually on the border. We technically had a Dallas address. We were right on the border.
You were in Garland.
But, like, Garland's stain, like, tainted that street, I guess. Now all the Garland furries will be like, hey!
That's assuming they have internet.
I'm sure they have internet.
Hey, when I first moved to Dallas, I lived out in Garland, too, and holy crap, that was a shithole.
Okay, see, there you go. From a former Garland resident, that was a shithole.
There were gunshots all around us constantly. It was a shithole.
Yeah, I heard them off in the distance.
So, yeah.
Now all I hear off in the distance is the faint wail of the freight train, which is nice. Actually, I heard that in Garland, too. But it's like, well, some people get really annoyed by the sound of trains. Like, I actually find it kind of soothing.
It's nice so long as the tracks aren't right outside your window.
No, you can tell they're miles away. In fact, I know where they are. They're at the downtown Carrollton train station because the poor fuckers on the other side of 35 get cut off from the train station when the 3-mile-long freight train goes through there every morning at 7:30.
Yes.
We're so lucky, me and Sarah both, that we live on this side of those train tracks. So that when we go to work, we don't get stopped by
that
train.
See, that train also cuts off the service road on the bush.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're not on the bush, that train's coming through, you're going to be waiting.
That's right. Tiernan and I got cut off by the evening one once on the way to Bucks because I was like, oh, honey, the train's coming down.
I used to
go. And they go right through the neighborhood, too.
And he was like, is it like... like, normal train, or is it, oh my god, train? And I looked, I was like, it's oh my god, train. It's like a mile long.
I used to commute underneath the underpass by 35 to go to work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple days where it's like, I'm going to be late for work. Just sit and wait, because And then the train stops, blocking the intersection. It's like, move.
I've seen people just fucking put their cars in park and turn them off to save gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All you can do is wait because...
And, yeah, I mean, the little commuter trains, that's fine. They zoom by in seconds, but
the
freight ones,
well, the DART and the freight are on different lines.
Yeah, they are. But, I guess maybe I was thinking you'd think they'd put them on the outskirts of town. It's like, well, I guess, like,
it used to
50
be.
Years ago, it was the outskirts of town. Yeah. And now it's right in the middle of the Metroplex.
And like a large chunk of our rail system was built in the early 1900s.
Yeah. And yeah. Some of those tracks are quite old.
Yes.
I mean, they're maintained, but the beds are really old.
And it's hard to relay those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know the commuter rail, the Red Line, had to realign the rail coming out of the tunnel at one point. And that took them so long to do because basically it made this big stupid curve coming out of the tunnel and it took up all this extra time for no damn reason. And they were also preparing shit basically for the later rail expansions. So they had to move this thing over and yeah, that took them a long time to cut all the new area, lay down the old tracks and cut off the old ones and everything like that.
Infrastructure's not a very fast process.
No, it's not.
They talked about doing another linking around the outside of Dallas. I don't know if they got it finalized, but like going through by like the Addison Transit Center, like an outer loop.
It's the we talked about this on the show before. I think it's the Cotton Belt line,
green to red across North Dallas,
because they really need to be able to get across Dallas.
It's going to go through the Addison Transit Center. There's already tracks there that are not used anymore. And DART has already paid for them. They're going to take over those tracks and then expand them. And this will be part of connecting the Green Line out to the airport as well.
It needs to happen, so I'm
glad. Which will be handy.
The Green Line out to the airport.
Green or the orange? Maybe the orange.
Orange goes out to the
FW. Orange goes out to the Centerport station, but there's another one that they're planning. Like, it's way out there in, like, remote parking. They're planning one that's closer,
I think. Thought Orange Centerport's on the south end. That's the TRE.
That's where it connects. That's right. That's where
Orange the TRE goes to the north end.
Okay. Well, they're doing something else with DFW.
I just think it's fucking brilliant that I live right next to where the Addison Transit Center is so that when the trains start coming through.
Yeah.
You know,
getting everywhere will be pretty easy.
Yeah, because.
They come a lot more frequently than the buses do. It's easier to figure out.
And the Cotton Belt line won't even be that long, so it won't require many trains.
They're calling it the Cotton Belt?
No, that's its historical name.
Oh,
I mean, these are like from like 75 years ago or something like that. It was the
Cotton
Belt.
There's only a single lane of track, though.
Well, they're probably going to expand it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it was a freight line back in the day that's been disused for many years, probably decades. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I just think it's great that we're finally getting it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Welcome to Traincast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it's the Scottish part of me that I'm kind of a train spotter. And not that I, like, obsess over the different models and stuff like that, but I enjoy train travel, and I enjoy taking it to work because it's convenient, and I think it's very cool that we have a growing commuter rail system here.
It's nice to have public transport, because Dallas... Yeah. If you don't have a car in Dallas, I mean, DART exists, and it is slowly getting better. But it used to be that if you didn't have a car in Dallas, you were fucked getting anywhere.
Yep.
And it's slowly getting better, but they're still getting a job in Dallas. A lot of places that will ask you, do you have a car? If you say no, then you're not eligible for hire.
Well, see,
so
if you have a car in Dallas and you want to get downtown... Just take the fucking train, because it's way easier.
Yeah, plus parking downtown is a nightmare.
Yeah, and expensive. It's like one building is $12 a day, the other building is $18 a day to get into parking garages. And my company will either give you a parking pass for those people that have to drive because they live really far afield. And, you know, like people live in McKinney and places like that. That aren't serviced by DART. But or it'll give you a Dart Pass, which is like $400 or $500 a year, which they pay for. So I'm covered with an annual pass. One thing I want to do sometime, I want to actually take the A train up to Denton, which is like, you know, it's like an hour trip, but it might just be like a nice little ride up there, walk around downtown Denton for a couple hours, come back. There's that cool bookstore there that Webster told me about. I went there one day. I actually got 3 volumes of the Flight graphic novel series up there. Recycled Books is what it's called.
Yeah. It's a neat. Well, see, old one thing that I think would be kind of cool is like,
yeah,
take the train up to Denton, then take the train down to the Victory, then hop the TRE and go out to Fort Worth.
See, I would love to take a ride on the TRE or even just back and forth on the TRE just for the fuck of it.
Yeah. Yeah. TRE in this case is the Trinity Rail Express. It is the commuter train that connects Fort Worth and Dallas.
Yeah. And it's actually, unlike the DART, it's actually real train sized. It's not light rail. It's a full size, like Amtrak style train with the double level and the big ass seats and stuff like that.
Is it comfy? I've never been on it.
It looks like it would be comfy as long as it's well maintained. I've never been on it. Have you ever been on it?
Sarah? Me neither.
Okay. But from what I heard about Fort Worth, which I think you told me about, the T really kind of sucks because it's set up on the old cargo lines, which means it doesn't really go anywhere in particular in Fort Worth. Like, it's not
that the TRE useful. Goes to...
Well, the TRE goes to Fort Worth, but the T, once you're out there, isn't really that great.
There's only buses. There's no train.
I thought there was a train in system in Fort Worth called the T.
No.
No?
The T is just the bus line.
Really?
Yeah. There's only buses.
Wow. I thought... I'm sorry. My ignorance, I guess. I thought Fort Worth had trains.
There's the Tarantula train, which was just a short steam train loop that went around in that area, but I don't even think that runs anymore.
Was that just like a touristy kind of thing?
It was a touristy thing.
There's one like that north of Austin as well. Yeah. It's a historic steam train line that they still run. Goes through some sites out in the wilderness of Texas.
The weirdest train I was ever on. In New Hampshire, there's Mount Washington. It's the tallest mountain on the East Coast. And they have an old cog railway that goes up the side of it, which is... It goes up the mountain at, like, 45 degrees. It's a pretty steep climb, but it's done on a cog system, which is a lot different. And it's coal-driven, and it's not very plush. So when you're going up the mountain, you're kind of sitting in an old steam train at, like, a 45-degree angle, very slowly going up the side of the mountain. And it's kind of painful because it takes, like, an hour and a half to get up the side of the mountain because it's crawling at, like, 15 miles an hour.
It sounds kind of scary, actually.
But it is going, I mean, it just ratchets its way up the side of the mountain, and it goes through some pretty impressive views because they have, of course, some railway spans over some gaps, and you get some magnificent views from this train. It's just the seats are hard, and the windows are open, and there's coal dust. So by the time I got up to the top, I was feeling pretty damn grody.
So there is a steam train, that goes from Fort Worth to Grapevine.
No kidding.
And it's like an hour 15 because it features an 1896 steam locomotive.
Oh, I want to go on that. Oh, it'd be a total train fag and go on the steam train.
It's a classic engine. I mean,
oh my god, it's just like in Back to the Future 3. Marty, we gotta push this thing up to 90.
Oh god, go on the train with like the orange parka vest and some guy dressed as Doc Brown. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, great.
It's.
Just go dressed up in like old 19th century style clothing and be like, I say, conductor, what does this train do to depart? Just like.
They probably have had that.
They'd probably roll their eyes and be like, another one of these fucking people.
Yeah, they only do it twice a day. They go from Grapevine to Stockards and Stockards back to Grapevine. So, 1 p.m. during September, November. Saturdays and Sundays only. So it's round trip. It's $28.
Huh.
But you'd go from Grapevine to the Stockyards, have 2 hours to see the various shops and stuff around there. Then you hop on the train and take it back to Grapevine.
Why wouldn't you do it the other way around? Because if you were at the Stockyards, then you could probably take the TRE back out to over here, right?
You'd have to take either a cab or a bus downtown.
So we'd have to drive to Grapevine and then...
Yeah, but Grapevine's closer to us than Fort Worth.
You're right. It is. It's between Dallas and Fort Worth. So I've only been to Grapevine a couple of times. I went to, yeah. I think, the Nokia Theater is out there.
This is Grapevine up in here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right here. So the train goes from here in Grapevine to downtown, or to the Stockyards, which is over in the northwest of Fort Worth Center.
Oh, man, we should totally do that someday.
Okay. That sounds fine. Bring your jackets.
Yeah, I guess it might be chilly around this time of year.
Yeah, it's only $28, and you can go on a real train ride.
So,
choo-choo!
On the notice, things to do. Like I said, my mom's coming into town for the first time next weekend.
Yep. Cool.
So we're looking for things to do. I know I'm going to take her out to Care.
Okay,
and
cool.
Show her all the kitties. Yay. That sounds like fun. But I've been trying to think of other stuff to do around town. It's like, she was been here once, so I'm pretty sure she's done the grassy knoll, which isn't all that impressive anyways.
No, but the Sixth Floor Museum is, if a little sobering.
Yeah.
It is a very interesting and simultaneously very depressing historical exhibit.
So we might do that. I know the JFK assassination was a big thing in her life.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those, you always remember where you were when it happened.
Just be like, yo, you want to see where that shit went down? I don't know if you talk gangsta to your mother or not.
No.
Aw.
Not unless she pisses me off.
Yes, bitch, I will end you.
There's been discussions like that, yes.
Nice.
Me and my mom have a very tense relationship at times.
Are you off during the weekdays?
Yeah, we've got Veterans Day off because that's, the way my work works.
It might be open then. You should explore the tunnels in downtown Dallas.
Tunnels?
Yeah, I've talked about this before, but there's a tunnel system under the city that connects some of the major buildings downtown underground. And there's like shit tons of restaurants down there. It was designed so that people working downtown could stay out of the harsh summer outside by walking under the buildings or over the street in the case of all the sky bridges. But it's not complete. Like, you can't totally go from one end of the city to the other, but there are large sections that connect a bunch of the buildings. It's really quite cool. I've been down there a couple of times, just little bits of it. I know I haven't seen all of it. I think there's a website. There's like dallastunnels.org or something. I don't remember it exactly, but...
There's actually a section in Montreal kind of like that, too, where it's just completely all underground. Of course, the one thing to do in Dallas is go out and eat.
Yeah, we have a shitload of restaurants. We have a shitload of retail.
We might take her to, like, the gallery or something, but she's not super big into shopping.
Yeah.
It's
a pity the fair is over, I guess.
Yeah, that's... And I don't think we want to do the big, long drive down to TRF. So she's arriving next Saturday, so a week from tomorrow. Mm-hmm. She's going to be here till early Thursday morning. And so we've got... I have Monday off, and took off Tuesday and Wednesday. So I've got halfway through Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to entertain my mother. And considering she
Congratulations.
Considering she hates my mate, Siam, and the feelings mutual, it's going to be interesting times. And like I said last week, she hadn't met Sarah before, so he's like, oh my God.
Ermagerd. No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. So just trying to think of shit to do that's not the same old shit you do in any every other city.
Yeah.
So we're going to take her out someplace like Babes, and I know you don't like Heartache, but for barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, if you go to Dallas, what do you do? I mean, our cuisine is pretty much steak, barbecue, Tex-Mex, you know, actual Tex-Mex, mm-hmm. not, you know, Taco Bell.
I don't know if y'all would be interested in this, and I don't know if it's going yet or not, or if it's close to the holidays, but there's a couple of, like, outdoor attractions. One year, Guardian and I went out to the Gaylord Convention Center. Mm-hmm.
They have a pretty cool, like, ice sculpture thing, yeah.
Yeah, oh. They have an ice sculpture thing, and they also have this thing where you can get in an open, in a convertible limo mm-hmm. and drive around. They have, like, a bunch of different lights and stuff for the holidays out there.
I don't know if it'll be out by next week.
And then there's, yeah, I don't know if it's out this early. That's the thing. The other one is, if you get on, I think it's 20 eastbound, mm-hmm. There is, like, some other kind of Christmas village thing in the country out there east of town. And I don't remember what it's called. Do you remember, Sovereign? I've only passed it a couple of times. I think a few of the locals may have been there in the past. I'm not sure. But
so there's that. I mean, I don't know if I want to take a long drive to down to, like, Austin or anything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, how much driving?
You could always, like, go to Waco and then feel really good about living in Dallas and come home.
You don't have to go that far. I mean,
you could just go to Fort Worth.
Go to Arlington.
Oh. Go to Arlington. Sorry, Arlington first.
Arlington first. Like,
I've only ever seen the shit parts of Arlington, I guess. But then again, I've had other people that live there tell me that it's all a shit part. So
there's some nice parts. It's just really far south. Mm. You're like the Parks Mall in that area. But then, like, okay. So, like, the area that Six Flags is at mm-hmm. is actually kind of shit.
Yeah. That happens a lot. Big stadiums and big things like that.
Well, see, back when it was built, Six uh-huh. Flags was an industrial park. An area.
I could see that.
So it was an industrial. Okay. If you go on the other side of 360 there, it is still a shitty old industrial park. Then you go into Grand Prairie, which is really shit.
And that's where you want to take me? To Grand Prairie?
No. No.
To get on the train. You said it's
Grapevine.
Grapevine. Oh, right. Grapevine.
No, okay. Not to Grand Prairie. God.
Well, one thing that I had been thinking about doing is out of the Dallas Arboretum, they've been having an art display for like the last 6 months. And in the summer, it was too hot to do. Mm-hmm. But they've got, there's a gentleman that does blown glass sculptures. I'm going to slaughter his name, so forgive me. It's like Chipotle? Chihuly?
Chipotle?
No.
Chipotle.
So, and it's looked really pretty, and we haven't done that yet. And
there's also, like, the Sculpture Center. There's mm-hmm. a couple of museums. You could take her out to White Rock Lake. That'd be a nice day out.
Was debating maybe the DMA downtown.
DMA?
The Dallas Museum of Art.
Okay. Yeah.
We keep meaning to do that, and we haven't done it yet, so. But Sarah took Monday off as well, so.
Well, that's funny. I did, too. You mean this coming Monday or next?
Yeah, Veterans Day.
So, yeah, what I did, I took Monday and Tuesday off this coming week because I need to catch up on some house stuff and some For Planet stuff, and work is really slow right now. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, this is due to Hurricane Sandy, because all of our branch offices on the East Coast are closed or understaffed right now. So they're not sending in many work orders.
Yeah.
So our center has a low volume of work orders.
Yeah, Sarah said that they were offering to let people go home today.
What?
Yeah.
I never got offered that.
Unpaid, though.
I'm fine with that.
I don't know. That's what he said.
Oh, okay. Well, nobody offered me that, but whatever. I ended up having a good week this week as far as my stats go. And I was like, let me see if I can get a couple of these days off. So I took Monday and Tuesday off. So I figured we'd be low volume, I won't be missed, basically.
Well, Sarah miscounted how much PTO he had left for the year.
I saw him talking about
like,
that.
And he's like, oh my god, I've got a lot more time. So he's like, take Monday off so you can go do shit. He's like, well, I guess I can. He's like, sure, yeah, I can swing that.
I guess.
Oh god, you gotta make me spend time with
I like
your mom.
That he's staying off from, what, December 22nd to like January 1st or something like
That's
that?
That's the exact same day as I've got off. I've already got it approved.
Oh, perfect.
So,
oh, good for you guys.
Party time.
Well, he was going to do that last year, and then he got that incredible illness where he was, like, vomiting up his guts for, like, 3 days.
Ugh.
Yeah, he got, like, wicked food poisoning, and that ruined that plan for last year, so.
That sucks. So my big thing coming up is tomorrow I'm having my housewarming party.
Yes.
So we will hopefully have between, like, 30 and 40 people there. We like, 5 people coming up from Austin to join in the festivities who will be crashing with us. We've got the guest room all set up and everything.
Yay.
We have couches. Tieran and I are ordering a bunch of pizza.
500 pizzas.
500 pizzas. He's also picked up a bunch of soda. I picked up a bunch of liquor for the wet bar, which is now stocked and ready to go. And we'll
Do you have any of those fine crystal carafes to like put pretty stuff in?
No. I have wine glasses in there.
I don't want to get you for Christmas a nice decanter.
Ooh, that would be, could be like a couple of classy bitches. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, hopefully people will bring stuff and everything. But, you know, we'll have games. We have lots of space. So we'll have folks playing board games in one room, chatting in other rooms, maybe watching something or whatever, you know. But that's going to be a long event, probably 3 p.m. till whenever.
Well, that's what I've just set aside Saturday for that. Whenever we got some errands and stuff we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So sometime I will be coming over and bothering you at some point.
Oh, that's cool. Keo said he wants to come over early and help us tidy up and get things set up and stuff like that. So.
That's good.
So that'll be cool. And we probably need the help because Tieran wants to like vacuum everywhere, which we need to do. Cause
hey, you got those white carpets?
We got those white carpets, and with moving boxes around and everything, there's
little bits.
Debris and little bits and pieces get tracked in and all that, you know, so.
Yeah, we're going to, so we're doing that on Saturday. Sunday, I forget what we have to do. We had something, I'll remember at some point. That's not important.
Well, the rest of the weekend, all I got to do is just catch up on work and work in the house. And, you know, continue unpacking and rearranging and stuff like that. Even though we've been delayed with all the time we were out of town last month, we are actually making good progress in the house. And I unpacked most of my books yesterday, so I've got them in shelves in the library now. So yeah, I'm happy about that.
One thing I'm doing tomorrow is sleeping in. Just because I have had shitty sleep all this week, and I need to just sleep.
I've been exhausted all week because something has really got my allergies up. Mm. I know at home it's dust from pulling out books and old CDs and stuff like that. At work, though, I started sneezing my head off. I don't know what the fuck. I've been sneezing so much my ribs hurt.
Ow.
And so, consequently, I've been taking Benadryl, which really gives me a medicine hangover the next day, where you just have that medicine head kind of hazy feel, and it takes for fuck ever for me to get up and going. So it's been so hard for me to like get up in the morning lately. Surprisingly, I've actually been to work early like 3 days this week, so I don't know how the hell that happened, but
I
felt exhausted.
Not yesterday, or not this morning, but the morning before, I woke up and I felt drunk. And I don't remember sleeping badly. I mean, it's not like I remember tossing or turning, but I woke up and I felt drunk.
Was Sarah like, does this smell like chloroform to you?
No, it was the night I was with Siam, so.
Okay.
The good one did not, you know.
Oh, he's the good one. Sarah's the naughty one.
Yes. Yes. You know that, yes.
Uh-huh.
Was it about Sarah's ass?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I.
He said the magic word!
I woke up. I woke up, I got in the shower. I had the shower poof in one hand and a bottle in the other. And I'm sitting here looking at the two, and the water's coming down, going, something is not right here. I should not be. And then I realized I've got shampoo in my hand and a shower puff. You do not wash your hair either with the puff. And you don't wash your body with a shampoo. But I just had to sit there and stare at him because it was not.
It did not compute.
Yes.
We should do something like try to swallow your medication with mouthwash or something. You know, just, what am I doing?
No, your face.
Yeah. I did almost throw my toothbrush away a couple years back because I had something in my hand that I needed to throw away, and I picked up my toothbrush, and I narrowly threw my toothbrush in the trash.
It's like, ew.
Yeah.
Then you would have had to get a new toner.
Let me spray shaving cream under my arms and smear this deodorant on my face.
But, oh, that day my ass just dragged. And I got up. I do keep a couple of those 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God they work on me, because I took one and it's like, oh my God, because I could not imagine trying to drive in that state. Because even after a shower, which usually wakes me up, I was just not firing on all gears.
Yeah. I've never taken the 5 hour energy because they kind of worry me. Like, I don't know if like I would have a real bad crack. Maybe I should take one now. Shit.
I mean, I've tried some of the energy drinks. Of course, I have to avoid the ones with a ton of sugar because, well, I can't have sugar.
Yeah.
And I've done Monster, and I've done Red Bull, and I tried them, and they never did much for me. When I do the 5 hour, I guess it's because it's a ton of B vitamins. It just makes me feel awake, alert, focused, and just like I'm firing on all cylinders.
Mm.
It's a really nice, very nice feeling for me. So
I feel fantastic.
I don't do them a lot. I mean, I might have one or two a month, but I just keep them on hand for when my ass is just not going.
Yeah.
So they're a nice emergency. I wouldn't want to do them daily. I'd be afraid that they lose their effectiveness.
Yeah. So. Which would suck.
All right, so.
Email?
Emails.
Do we need to save?
Well, it's 41 minutes. We should get a couple emails before we go to the break.
Ramble.
And we'll save till after the break reading the, maybe save that political rant.
There's a political rant in these? Oh, wow, we got a lot of emails, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Well, just that journal. Just share the journal to us, and we'll publicize it in some way. Ruin his furry life forever.
No, I think Sarah's going to handle that.
So. Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm going to read an email.
You do that. Oh, me a Coke.
Bro fist.
Air bro fist.
We bro fisted inside Saverin.
Bro fish.
This is a new listener email.
Yay!
Look at those. Yay. Greetings, people of the Knot. This is Koakai, the Grey Raven, somewhat newer fan. I've known of the furry fandom since getting into furry webcomics in the mid to late 90s, but alas, never got into it in any strong way. My hard drives might have had furry smut on them, but engaging with the fandom never occurred to me. Cue my recent foray into needing more podcasts to fill the long nights at my job. Having exhausted all the gaming podcasts I wished to listen to and being caught up on the fiction ones, I decided to see what else is out there. A sudden influx of downloads later, I find myself breaking out of my nest to attend my first furry con, Rainforest. Ah, what an enjoyable time. Even if I only spent 2 days at the con and find myself unable to engage with other furs. Never been much of a social person, and antidepressant / anti-anxiety drugs only help so much with that. But onto the whole reason I'm typing out this missive. I've been listening to the back episodes this night, and one of the more recent ones, 188, had the question about asexuality from the listener disabled.
An asexual.
I'm asexual. What does that mean? I am sexual with A's.
Capital or lowercase?
Ooh, lowercase. That's dangerous. That's killing me. Like him, I find myself identifying as such. Also, like him, I find myself taking the task to hand, so to speak. I find that I'm wired to find certain things sexy, even if I have no real desire for sex itself. Release is certainly pleasurable, and it was a great natural antidepressant when I was younger, but I find the whole act kind of disgusting in a strange way. Oddly enough, I've had experience with both sexes in the past. A guy when I was in school and had a live-in girlfriend while attending university. Even when I was with said girlfriend and found it quite difficult to orgasm during the act, yet I enjoyed the closeness of it. I would never shy away from giving pleasure, even if I do not enjoy getting it. As such, I find myself here, a romantic asexual among one of the more sexual fandoms. I do not regret this and look forward to many years of fandom to come. Strangely enough, I would not mind trying a good pegging. Must be the 5% of me that's gay. Yours, Koakai.
Interesting.
I bet you could find somebody to peg you.
Sure.
Hey.
Oh my.
Fucking fire that thing up, Shiva.
Alright, so
it's
hey,
my vibrator and a Clitty Buster 5000. Ah.
There are asexual people out there.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about, I don't know, just it not being pleasurable and thinking it's disgusting. It doesn't sound like a lack of interest in sex. You enjoy getting off. It sounds like maybe there's something else in there you might want to look into. What do you guys think?
Maybe some people just don't, you know, they find the biological part of it kind of icky. I mean, it's just a thing. It's no.
Yeah.
If it doesn't affect him, then.
If it's not negatively affecting your life or not, you're not feeling like you're missing some major part of the human experience, then it's not a problem. But if it's something that is detracting from you in some way, then you might want to look into it.
Let's see. Yeah. Couple interesting honest follow-up emails.
Okay.
Well, he did do it. Let's see. He added a couple things in a follow-up. Did you want to get that, Saverin?
He did?
Yeah, it's right above that one.
The forgot something can be ignored on air? I think that's a different person, isn't it?
No.
Oh.
Is it?
No, it's the same person, sure.
Yeah. He forgot a couple silly things. Food. He's a depressive eater and loves to cook. So before drugs, that could be a nasty cycle. Depressed, so I eat. Depressed due to weight, so I eat again. Lovely cycle. I did go to cooking school and adore cooking, even though I hate the stress professional cooking puts on you. I tend to not cook for myself, as my eternal single status means I make too much for myself and hate to waste food. On another unrelated note, I keep hearing that one host's parents happen to make jewelry. This is a hobby I happen to have as well. Good on them for selling. But they might want to tap into the fairly open furry market. I found myself sketching designs when I was at Rainforest, wishing I could paint well enough with enamel to do commission pieces. Perhaps furries would not appreciate a nice shiny like this raven does, but it might be a market worth looking into. Might pay a way to a con or two with the right selection.
So, Saverin.
Hey, Saverin. Saverin's parents. Do you go to furry cons and sell your jewelry?
Why, yes, they do.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yep, Saverin got them into that.
They have fun. They sell stuff, and
apparently it was quite successful for them. So
you know, it's a decent show for them. I mean, it's not like super amazing compared to the normal stuff, but it's a fun change of pace for them.
Yeah, and it's also low overhead, being relatively local.
So, yep. There we go. Next email.
Okay, I will read, I guess, this next one. First of possibly many is the subject line. Hi there, naughty ones. Maxis Irkwood, Wolf here. I just recently started listening to you guys and have to say I love it. Oh, so this is another newish listener email.
Good.
Cool. I have a very boring factory job and listen to you guys for 5.5 hours. Needless to say, I will have listened start to finish soon. I don't have any questions for you, just saying hi and dropping a couple of opinions. To start with, I view the furry fandom as a subculture, and as a subculture, it is riddled with kids, anyone under 18, that sit at the other table. You know, that one table of kids that don't belong in any clique. Personally, this irritates me, as they're usually, as someone said, emotional vampires. Second, I guess I do have a question. What do you think about furries with special abilities, or powers, in quotes here? I have a couple fur friends that have these abilities. Generally, they are elemental benders. I nearly read that as elemental badgers. Misread it for a minute.
You've got badgers on the brain.
I guess. Yes, like the animated show Avatar. I don't mind it in online RP once in a while, but what gets to me is god modding. My question is, how do you feel about abilities and powers, and how much is too much? Anyway, have to go for now. Your audio slave, Maxis. So my question is, does he mean people that are claiming to have these abilities in real life? Or is he talking about people that RP like this online?
I'm going to guess it's the RPers.
I hope so.
It really depends on how they pull it off. There's what's known as power playing. Basically an online role play, and this is what I was taught back in the day, is that when you're doing online role-playing, unless there's some degree of consent, usually you tend to do fairly passive things. Like, you pose that you intend to do something, And then when the person, other person replies, they note whether or not you succeed or fail. Like, Joe reaches out and takes a swing at Sam. Sam ducks. Sam falls backwards as the fist slam, you know, hits his jaw. You know, it's basically the other person. It's one thing to have powers. Usually it's polite it's usually polite that when you're interacting to let the other person say if what you do affects their character. So you can have powers. It's just find clever ways to use them and don't be pushy with them unless it's, you know, something you guys have already kind of been working towards. You know, if you've got a big role play design where you finally foil the villain and capture him or whatnot, and yeah, and it's kind of predetermined, it's just how it plays out, that's one thing.
But yeah, most often than not, when you do have the under 18, usually you end up with the power players, the Black Chaos, the anti-god hog, who's a Sonic the Hedgehog role player who
is anti-god hog,
who's, you know, best friends with Tails and fuck Davey and shot Sonic in the eye with his dick, you know. That's the crazy god modding stuff. That's unacceptable.
Okay. And
that's indicative usually that you're playing with kids. Don't play with kids. So yeah, when it comes down to an RP situation, that kind of nonsense doesn't usually fly. It's also occasionally special snowflake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my character is not a personality. It is a, you know, I have this power. I'm super special. I am the hero / princess / angel wing and a demon wing.
I could generate hug boxes with my thoughts.
Yeah. So don't god mod RP, kids. It's bad.
At least give yourself, and also when you're doing, give your character some flaws. Have him have a hot temper. Have him
be mildly racist.
Your temper is so hot.
Let's see.
It would be your turn. Savage is my best cracking up over there.
My best friend's not really girlfriend. This is my first time writing into you guys. I'd like to say thanks for giving me something to listen to while I'm doing my homework. Bored or writing a yiffy story as I do every so often. It really helps kill the day-to-day silence of my usually empty home. I also appreciate the book recommendations because I too love a good read. Anyway, on to the real issue here. I'm 18, a freshman in a nearby community college, dealing with finding something to do with myself when most of my high school friends group has moved out of state to go to different colleges. I'm getting to know some people at my current school, but I still have trouble making that leap from acquaintances to friends. One of my friends, though, my best friend, in fact, is still close by. I can easily go from my school to his school in a matter of minutes, so it shouldn't be hard to hang out with him, right? Wrong. You see, around the end of the summer, he started spending time with someone he knew for a little while, and since then they've gotten more close. When he started incorporating her into our friend group, I didn't mind so much. But I soon started to notice that she's gotten this very bitchy, I can say whatever I want, and if it pisses you off, well, too fucking bad kind of attitude, and tends to whine a lot.
No ma'am.
We also have no common interests, so whenever she gets involved, we have to accommodate what she likes, and this really leads to no one having any fun. I could deal with this normally. I mean, it's not my place to tell him who he should and shouldn't be friends with. But lately, they've been getting so close, it's uncomfortable. Whenever the weekend comes around and he stays at her house, and they've been going so far as to sharing a bed and clothing with each other, though they insist it's not dating. His actual girlfriend moved to Georgia for college. We live in Mass, so that's quite the distance. Mm-hmm. And he constantly talks about how much he misses her, but since neither of them have any money or will get a job, they probably won't be able to see each other for more than just the holidays, and I doubt they'll be able to maintain a long-distance relationship. Once that fails, I'm sure him and this other girl will get together, and then I'll never be able to escape her. What's worse is he's been acting differently since she's come into the picture. We've always been the type of friends who would just mock each other in jest, but lately when she's around, his jokes seem less like jokes and more like he's actually trying to insult me. Not only that, but he only seems to call me up now if he needs me to do something for him, like pay for a meal or lend him something. And though he pays me back, I still get the feeling I'm being used. I really don't want to sever ties with him. He's been my friend for years, and until recently, he's always been amazing. I'm certain were it not for him, I would never have survived high school. I wonder what changed him. Plus, we share a number of mutual friends, and I know that if I were to break it off with him, it would cause a chain reaction of bullshit. It wouldn't be fair to pull them into this. So what do you guys think I should do? I don't want to feel used or replaced, but I also don't want to lose one of the closest relationship I've ever had. The people I've met at school are pretty nice, but I don't know if things will work out with them. And even if it did, it might not be the same. So, P.S. You could skip over this if you're not talking books anymore. But if anyone's looking for a good, scary, but thought-provoking story, I recommend Mr. Be Gone by Clive Barker.
Scary, but thought-provoking.
It's a fourth-wall-breaking story about a demon from hell who gets trapped in the book you happen to be reading. And throughout the whole thing, he's trying to convince you to burn the book and free him from his torment while he tells you the story how he came to be this way. For that reason, I definitely say that buy this in its physical format, not an e-reader or Kindle. It makes it much more immersive, and Clive Barker's version of hell in the world from a demon's perspective is intriguing, especially with the reverse morality of demon culture. Mm. Without giving too much away, I can say there's a twisted little gay love in there that's handled well. Yours sincerely, a perverted but classy coy wolf.
That sounds interesting. So Sheila Savern has some input here.
Do not fall in love with girls or their devil vagina magic.
One big warning bell on here is if he's still got a girlfriend, he should not be sharing a bed with her.
Nope. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it is platonic, but I would be pretty damn upset if my boyfriend was sleeping with another girl. I mean, like, sleeping, not fucking. And he didn't tell me. So maybe he's told her, maybe she's cool with it. I don't know. I doubt it.
I call bullshit shenanigans on this guy's friend's part. Like, no, you're not cuddling with this girl and sharing each other's clothes and while you have a girlfriend in another state. And the girlfriend in the other state is totally cool with it and this doesn't mean anything. Bullshit.
Pretty much. I mean, that's not cool. I mean,
and this girl sounds like kind of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, she shouldn't be doing that with a guy who's already got a girlfriend.
Yeah. And she sounds controlling, too, with the whole everything has to be her way kind of thing. Like, I don't like that.
Unfortunately, sometimes when somebody starts a relationship, it does change them. Either behaviors are encouraged, or sometimes when they get with a new person, they start being ballsy and kind of showing off and look at me, I'm so awesome because I'm insulting X person. Unfortunately, sometimes it does play out that way. And sometimes they'll break up and they'll go back to their old selves. Sometimes they don't. You can try having a talk with your friend going, hey, dude, chill with the insults. It's not that funny. It sounds like you're actually kind of meaning it. So.
Yeah.
It may just take, you know, going out and lunch and saying, hey, look, what's going on here? Because.
What the fuck's your problem, man?
Yeah. Because you're starting to push my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
So. But unfortunately, if they're getting together, there's not. If he's got feelings for her and you start, you know, kind of bad-mouthing her, that usually blows up on you because they're not usually keen. I mean, sometimes. I've heard of occasional things where it's not far enough along where you can talk some sense into friends, but
mm-hmm.
half the time you just have to grin and bear it,
yeah.
Sad as that is. You may have to start limiting your contact with them, which is sad, but I wouldn't, like, cut all ties and have a big blow-up. You know, maybe just start. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on to him as a tangential friend. Maybe they'll part ways. Maybe they won't. You can always talk to him about what's going on and Just don't push it too much if he starts getting defensive.
Mm-hmm. So I pretty much agree with that. Sovereign, you got anything?
You know, I just think the dude is really playing you wrong. This you're real young, and so I mean, it's the dude, your friend, kind of like he's pussy whipped.
Maybe
a bit of that, because you know he's got this new chick, and she's really fucking with your hangout time, and you know, being real picky and stuff like that. I mean, that kind of shit happens when relationships split friendships, and it's never pretty and never fun.
Yeah.
I mean, and even if you go talk to your friend, he's gonna be like, "No, no, dude, it's totally not like that." Because I've seen enough of this to know, you know, your friend, you know, he's been your good friend for a long time. But when he's with this chick and the time he's with the chick, probably not going to be the best thing for you.
Yeah.
And odds are once she tires of him, he'll come back and be like, "Oh, man, dude, I am like really sorry." And or he'll go off and be her vagina slave. One of the two. Sorry, cold dose of reality here.
Hey, vagina slaves do have some benefits.
Yep. Basically, you are probably being used. You might want to chill things with him. And just keep an eye on him. I mean, keep in contact, but you don't have to be super duper best friends forever for the moment. So, on that note, we are past an hour. I'm going to stop and save. We're going to play some music real quick and then come back with an ad from AdamEve.com.
Yay!
Yay!
Video games! That's all video games we played.
And we're back. That was song by artist. And I haven't downloaded anything recently, so...
Nothing? Yeah. Nothing at all?
Not really, no. I mean, none of... There's not been a lot of fresh content. I mean... I don't have anything really to share. Maybe nothing. I'll find some vaguely non-pony music and stuff it in there somewhere.
Oh, yes. Stuff it in there.
Because that community produces a shit ton of music that's not necessarily just your oons shitty EDM.
Oh, what about the gentleman that sent us stuff?
He only sent us one file.
Yeah, he could send us more. Hint, yeah. Hint.
Send us your entire album and we'll put it on our podcast for free. No, I don't think so.
So, we have an item from AdamNeve.com. Shiva, tell us what it is.
Someday you guys are going to have to pick something yourselves.
You're good at the pussy toys.
Yeah, you're good at the whole vagina mancy.
Well, yes, but I've had lots of practice too. Let's see, this week's is a toy called I Rub My Ducky. And it is exactly what it sounds. It is a vibrator shaped like a little yellow duck. Yes, like what goes in the bathtub, little yellow duck.
Quack, quack.
It's got like a soft spot on the back that you do to turn it on. Apparently, it's got 42 reviews with 4 stars. Oh, God, stars.
I thought you were going to say 42 settings. I was going to be like, no. God damn.
No, no, it does have 42 reviews, and it's got 4 stars, so... People like it. It's, of course, waterproof. I mean, if it wasn't, that would be kind of dumb for a little yellow duck.
Yeah.
Batteries are included. Apparently, it's really good for water time. Bath, pool, jacuzzi, shower. And it's good for all of your parts. But, but yeah, lots and lots and lots of happy, happy reviews on this. 4 stars, 5 stars. Comments that the bill fits really nice places. One person says, like, wonderful bath time toy. I got this as something to play with while my husband is away. He works great and is so cute. No one will ever know what the rubber ducky on my bath ledge really is.
Oh, my.
So, lots and lots of good reviews. Now, the price is $34.95, but... As always, if you use our coupon code NOT, KNOT,
yay!
Yes, you get half off, So it comes down to $17.48. You get 50% off one item, free standard shipping. Let's see. I don't know if that qualifies for more. Let me open up the cart. As soon as it will let me in, actually go. Let's see. So, yeah, you get the half off and you get free standard shipping. Let's see. So, $17.48, you get a cute toy. You can leave on the ledge of your bathtub and people just think that you're a silly, silly person.
And, you silly Billy.
But, you know, rubber ducky, you're so fun. So, I don't know. I did it for the last, but all the reviews kind of like, oh, I guess people actually like this. And the price is not bad with our coupon code.
Awesome.
So, back to the emails. Stick it in, yeah. Back to the emails.
Yay! So, Fuzz read the last one, didn't he?
She reread the last one.
That's my turn anyway. So there.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
OTC, sleep aids, antidepressants, etc. For the writer who talked about getting OTC sleep aids and the cost associated with it, OTC sleep aids, at least the generic ones, are insanely cheap if you know a couple tricks.
I'm down with OTC. Yeah, you know me.
You know me.
Over the counter for those.
The brand Shiva mentioned, Unisom, actually comes in two varieties. Doxylamine and diphenhydramine. I'm really glad that the guy that Branth, when he wrote this, actually spelled out, like, how to say it.
Yeah.
So that we didn't go, The diphenhydramine is also known as Benadryl. As it turns out, it was originally intended as an allergy medication, but had a strong sleepiness side effect, and is now used for that as well. I used it myself and was able to get a huge bottle of 360 pills at the local Dollar General for like $6.
All the pills.
Just look for the allergy medicine and check the label for generic diphenhydramine.
I'm glad he put those in. Well,
I'm not as familiar with the doxylamine, but it would be worth a shot if the diphenhydramine doesn't do the trick. Quick Google and you can buy about 200 pills for $20, so it's not that expensive either.
Well, I tried the two brands. They both work for me. The thing is one is like a blue gel cap, and the other one is like a light blue chalky pill. And I'm trying to figure out which one it is. The one that's the chalky solid rather than the liquid-filled ones, that worked for me, but when it started to kick in, it made me feel really crabby, as in I got like toddler cranky tired, as in like, I want to go to sleep now. You know, I just got bitchy tired. It was really felt really fussy, kind of uncomfortable, kind of just like.
You turned into a baby fur?
No.
Oh no!
You were like fussy, toddler, cranky. I was like, wait a minute.
No.
Where have I heard these words before?
My point is that I've used both, and one was not pleasant for me. I did not like how it made me feel tired, because it kind of made me feel frustrated, angry, and sleepy all at the same time, whereas the other one just kind of makes me say, it's like, you know, lying down sounds like a really good idea. It's more like, you know, I've been up, it's time for bed, and I don't have the concentration to read my book anymore. I'm just going to set it down, turn off the light, and zzz. The other one was really unpleasant. So, but that's my take, and everybody's body reacts differently to chemistry. So,
mine seems to do okay with Benadryl. Like, funny, I mentioned earlier that I was taking a Benadryl, and I mean, it makes me a little medicine heady and loopy the next day. But if you're trying to sleep, that's probably not too bad.
And I think it's one of the antihistamine blends that's in Benadryl. It's not the entirety that's in Benadryl,
right?
So. Anywho, let Severin continue.
All right, moving on. Okay. As for antidepressants, I was on those for a while and was originally hesitant about taking them. After I began to have serious thoughts about self-harm, I decided enough was enough and talked to my doctor. Over several years, I've been on three different meds, Zoloft, Lexapro, and Wellbutrin, and had good results with low doses of each. I was never on more than two at a time. After I was gainfully employed, my depression lifted, and I was able to go off of them. I haven't needed them for over a year, despite some serious relationship issues, a lot of work stress. Ironically, I needed them most when I was in college and high school, when I didn't have to worry about bills, but felt useless and dependent. Regardless, definitely talk to a doctor and try a different med if the one you're on isn't working. There's lots of options. That said, the real change comes from you making your life what you want it to be and taking control. Meds help you when nothing else can and are tools that can help you out of your slump. But you need to take control, use those tools, and find what makes you happy. I'm hardly swimming in cash over here, and my job is physically intense and emotionally draining, but I'm much happier now because I feel productive, independent, and in control. This has done more for me than any pill. For you, it might be a hobby, a friend, or significant other, independence, or any number of things. You'll have to find it on your own. I hope this helps. Brant the Dragon. P.S. Will we ever get to hear that hour and a half of politics? It wasn't actually an hour and a half. It was actually... because...
it's like half hour or something that you cut out.
56, and that one's 119. So 35 minutes of politics.
Mm-hmm.
It was a decent amount, and yes, you will get it very soon. It'll be up before probably this episode gets out.
You're going to get it soon.
Yeah, and it's going to go up onto the Notcast website. Boxsuffers.com, notcast.com,
mm-hmm.
And not into the RSS feed, so we can actually put the episode out that we're recording now and have it propagate out properly.
Okay.
But we want people to hear our rage.
Well,
our libmoral rage.
Yep. Oh, I got throat.
Oh, I didn't make that up. But. So there's two communities on LiveJournal. For years, there's been conservatives, and somebody finally made a liberal equivalent a couple years back called Libmurals.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're horrible. They're horrible. Just bad.
Horrible.
I think these are dirty socks here. I could throw them at you.
Ew. That would be icky.
That's the point.
Oh, damn it. I was hoping that wasn't the point and you would be deterred from your terrible course of action.
No.
Okay, all right. Let me refresh the email here. See. Which one? What to do? What to do? Oh, yes! I absolutely wanted to read that one. Where to go? Oh, there it is. Okay. Because he specifically wrote, hey, Fuzz asked for this, and here it is. Boom. Con Report, FanCon 2012. This was the first year for FanCon. It was in Nashville, Tennessee, I think. Was it last weekend?
Last weekend.
It was the same weekend as Far Fright. Okay, so... that wasn't a yawn. Hey, Notcasters. I saw that Fuzz Wolf had requested con reports for the show on Twitter and thought I'd chime in. Granted, I only got to stay for one day. Let me say up front that I had the time of my life in Nashville that Saturday and definitely plan on coming again and going all out next year. Myself and a cadre of furs from Murray, Kentucky, made the 2-hour journey to FanCon on Saturday morning. It wasn't difficult at all to find the Maxwell Millennium House Hotel. So we arrived there a little before registration officially opened up. For the majority of us, we had no idea what to expect because of our collective state of con virginity. From what I had heard previously, I thought that registration would be a nightmare, but it didn't take half as long as we suspected. Then again, this was an extremely small con, about 210 persons total. Registration was in the same cramped room as the dealer's den. I remember that room being overly crowded, even though there were only three vendors and a registration table inside. It'd be a good idea to at least get a larger room next year, especially if FanCon plans on expanding. Overall, the layout of the con space was great. The rooms were all down a single hall and on an isolated wing of the building. Well, mostly isolated. At the same time that our convention was going on, the American Daffodil Society was having a convention all to their own. It just so happened that they reserved two rooms towards the middle of the hallway, so interaction with them was imminent. As far as I could tell, we didn't have any major problems with coexistence, and we even cross-pollinated a bit. No pun intended there.
Ooh, planties!
Who would have thought that two completely different demographics could blend so well? Will it blend? The Artist Alley was sort of a ghost town earlier today, but it quickly filled out. Music, yarn craft, chainmail, and traditional artists were all but missing. I was excited to see so many talented people in one place. I even commissioned a few badges and an inked sketch. Insert shout out to Sal Kitten, Ade, and KJ Nightwolf here. That being said, I'd love to see more artists show up next year. Though most of my day was spent hanging around the Artist Alley with my friends, I took a break every now and then to play and socialize with other furs. Despite it being slightly out of my comfort zone, it was a ball. Around 3 p.m., everyone started gathering in the hall for the fursuit parade, and honestly, I enjoyed every second. Of course, there are the very few suits that had a tad derpy slash creepy as hell, but there were so many adorable suitors. Even though I've been a bit apprehensive about the fursuiting thing, seeing fursuits in person really warmed me to the idea. I especially adored Piston and Sparky. There's just something about the suits themselves and the people inside that make it all the more real. Sometimes I just couldn't keep myself from squeeing. Later in the evening, we watched Rhubarb's show and then the furry drama show hosted by Calamity Cougar, and it was a blast. And Boomer, Otter fursuiter, really added to Rhubarb's show by making some of us shy ponies get up and dance. Hashtag Boomer feels. I sort of expected more skits at the furry drama show, though there was one. But the animations and videos were extremely well produced. Despite some technical difficulties with the sound systems, both shows flowed smoothly, and I'm sure that the issues will be ironed out by next year. The dance afterwards was spectacular, and there was plenty of room to float around in. The lights, the two DJs, and the fog really contributed to the atmosphere. Some even stayed in suit to dance, which surprised me. Myself and Dame rocked the dance floor along with KJ Nightwolf. We danced for about an hour and 45 minutes despite it nearing 2 in the morning. It wasn't until then that we began to notice the ever-infamous con smell. After hopping in and out of the dance a few times for water and to catch our breath, we decided to head back home. We were tired, but it was so worth it. I can't wait for the next time that I get to experience the energy, love, and talent that is the real face of the fandom. I've never been so proud of being a furry as after FanCon. Drama and self-deprecation aside, I really do believe the fandom has something wonderful to offer, and I can't thank it enough for the friends I've made and the memories it's given me. The Silver Fox of the Tumblers, Foxerus. P.S. You pronounce my handle like so, Foxerius. Well, I thought I said it right.
Foxerius.
I thought it was right. Foxerus.
Whatever.
Foxerius.
That guy.
Yes. Thank you very much. I wanted to hear how this con turned out because it was a first year con, and I'm always kind of excited to hear, you know, what the con landscape is doing, you know. So it's very cool. And that was the only con report we got. Two cons in a weekend, and we only got one con report. I was hoping for like something from Fur Fright or something too to kind of have one of each, but oh well.
Good to see that the new con went off without too much of a hitch.
Mm. Yep, that's cool.
It's one of those things that when you don't hear much about a con, and
that's sometimes a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, and the what he said about he was surprised that the suitors were in the dance, that's actually quite common. And some cons, truly a lot of cons, have a what they call a fursuit-friendly dance one of the nights, which is usually slower tempo stuff. So that it's easier to move around in the big ass suits and everything. But fursuit dancing, and like some cons have a fursuit dance competition. I know FWA does. Do we cheer? I don't remember.
I don't think it's. We have a dance competition, but it's not for fursuits.
Okay, some cons have a fursuit dance thing separately, but.
Do in fursuit, but it's just dancing.
Right. So, yeah, dancing in fursuit is kind of a big part of the fursuiting community. So.
Okay. So, my turn.
Okay.
Let's see. This one's TMI.
Oh, dear.
First off, please keep me anonymous. I have a small TMI problem I'm hoping I can get some advice on. Actually, this might be more of a question for Shiva. Let me give you some information first.
Yeah.
I'm 25 female in a straight relationship. Now for my problem. My fiance is, how you say, very well endowed, and I'm very petite. Every time I have sex, I end up tearing. We've tried many different positions, lubes, foreplay, shower, but everything leaves me bleeding and sore. It's come to where he's now scared to have sex with me because he doesn't want to hurt me or leave any long-term damage. I told him we should do it more often, and that way I'll become looser, but it still gets him worried. The only thing I haven't tried is any kind of toys, and to be honest, I'm still a little shy about using them. I've never tried any before. This is the only thing we've come up with. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. If you don't read this on air, an email back would be great. I love you guys' show. Thanks for being awesome. A petite tigress.
So, yeah, Shiva, as the only person owning a vagina in this room, you would be the go-to person for this one.
Well, in this case, it's kind of just like anal. You will stretch, you will adjust, and it may take toys like you. And I admit they can be very intimidating. They can be kind of disturbing in shape and size and color.
Especially the gas-powered ones.
Yes. Yeah.
But you said you'll adapt, so vaginas are like a Borg?
No.
Oh, okay.
You might want to find out where you're bleeding from. It could be residual hymen, which that will go away with time. It'll eventually just kind of deteriorate and you'll widen up. Or if it's like the edge, it's basically going to be try to locate what's not working right. And then, like I said, more use will, lack of a better term, you'll toughen up. If things are still kind of delicate and if you haven't been having sex that long. It's very similar to the advice we give with anal. Go slow, go carefully. It'll get better with time. Use toys. I can suggest some pretty decent ones that won't hurt and give you some tips in what to buy, especially as starter ones. It also depends on what kind of budget you've got for them, because your good ones are going to run you a bit of money. And if nothing else, you can always go to a gynecologist. There are several sex-positive ones where you can get advice. It may be something, like if there's cases where the hymen never completely goes away. And so you have like a ring of flesh on the inside that keeps getting broken and bleeds. And you can go to a gynecologist and they can basically trim it, for lack of a better term. And that will make that problem stop because, you won't be constantly damaging yourself. So you've got a lot of options. It also depends on how much you bleed. If it's just a little bit, it's nothing to worry about. If there's a lot of blood, then that's something to worry about. But especially rough sex for girls, even with you having experience, it's not uncommon to have a tiny little bit of tearing. It's one reason why girls have to be careful and use protection, because we tear just like guys tear with anal, and the one on the receiving end is more likely to get infected with an STD.
Hmm.
So,
I guess I'd also throw in like a shitload of foreplay if they're not already doing that.
Yeah.
You know, because you're wetter, you're more aroused, you open up a little bit more.
Exactly. Yeah. They said they tried foreplay, try more. There's never... and
foreplay with toys.
Yeah.
If you want to combine
it, that it's just advice. One of those things that I think a lot of people, it's like, they don't quite get that real life's not furry porn. You can't just jam it in.
Yes. So, yeah, like Fuzz said, get some toys. Use it with your foreplay. Help you stretch a little bit wider before he goes to town.
And see, if you're scared, too, that also you'll clamp, you'll tense up. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that makes things harder, too.
Yeah, you might want to, like, smoke a massive doobie before.
No.
So what you need to do is get a 5-pound brick of Mexican skunkweed. Get blazed. And then you're going to be wearing him like a hat.
You don't want to get too relaxed and things like that, because that can actually make
it
really hard to come.
I'm kidding. Don't do drugs, kids.
Oh, okay.
That's a desired result. So.
Yay, tables.
Yay, tables.
So, like I said, if you want to contact me on FA or Twitter or anything else,
I can... I don't know about the new iPad Maxi. That just seems a little overkill.
Panther came bearing tables.
Yes. Thank you, dear.
And I'll give you some tips for...
You have saved my butt. Is this compatible with the 4?
He's nodding.
He's nodding. You have to look at him to get that communication sound.
You want to just pause for a moment?
Yeah, let me pause.
We'll be right back.
So I guess it's my turn to read an email then.
Yeah, so pick one of the three.
This one says, don't read the last email on air. So we're not.
All right.
Greetings, Notcast. I'll keep this short, very short. I found that I have a problem with intimacy with my partners. I just can't seem to get physically close to my partners without intrusive thoughts, and needless to say, sex is not possible. I think it is from a terrible past relationship that ended in flames 2 years ago. The guy took advantage of me sexually and cheated on me 3 times. I am simply too forgiving for my own good. Any advice you would have on my situation would be of great help. An anonymous Arctic fox on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. P.S. Love your show. Keep up the great work and keep casting those knots.
What kind? My first question is, what kind of intrusive thoughts are you having?
Yep.
You know, and two, there are actual counselors for taking care of this kind of thing, specifically to get over past abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Make use of them. That's what they're there for.
This is also probably an incident where communication with your partner is really important. Mm-hmm. That you need to tell them, hey, you know, I really want to bone the shit out of you or be fucked by you or whatever, but I have this thing and it's kind of preventing me from doing that. Help me out here. Communication is, again,
key. So,
I mean, what do you think, Fuzz or Shiva? Because, I mean, this is really short almost to be pretty hard to help, but you're going to have to talk with your partners and say, hey, look, I had some shit happen a couple years ago, and it's weirded me out.
Yeah. It also depends on age and experience as well, because I think we've talked about this before. When we're young, it's like sex is more difficult, and you have those doubts in your head about your performance, or you're worried something will go wrong, or am I doing this right? And, you know, you just need to, like, push all those doubts aside and out of your head. I know that's kind of easier said than done, but it's almost like you need to, like, just turn off part of your brain, that little voice in the back of your head that is always poking at you, basically, and just focus on what you're doing. And another part, like Savard said, is that just... it's just taking kind of slow and, you know, letting people know up front, you know, what the deal is, you know, what's going on. Hey, I had some shit happen, and yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
So, but yeah, there are always professionals, and, you know, if you can't handle it on your own, if it's becoming a real deterrent, and you need someone that's third party, not involved, that you can walk away from and not have to face in day-to-day life, because that's partially what shrinks are good for. You can go in, talk to them, and then you walk out the door, and then you don't have to see them judging you, knowing that they're carrying this knowledge about, because you walk away from them and you leave that behind. So, it can be good to have a neutral third party who's not always around, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is it my turn, or is it your turn?
I
just read an email, so it fuzzes.
Okay.
Are you sure? I thought I just read one.
One of you, read an email. There's two left.
Let me get back into my email here. Let's see. Okay, well, here's one that has some weird questions and confusion about who's a pony fag and who isn't. Well, not entirely. You know, it's rather hard to think. Episode 198, and this is in response, I think, to your FA journal when you were just like, hey, ask us questions. You know, it's rather hard to think of questions that people wouldn't have asked you over already the 4 years you've been doing this. Let's see. A, if you were stranded on a deserted island with any three non-fictional people from any time period, who would they be?
Hmm.
Let's go through these one at a time.
Hmm.
It's so. Non-fictional person.
Yeah.
Let's come back to this.
It's like Eisenhower. No, Roosevelt.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt would be
Teddy Roosevelt, Sir Francis Drake, and Socrates. They could all speak English.
Tubide would be like the Wright brothers so that he could build as a plane and goes the fuck out. Or whoever builds ships. I'd have to look up whoever builds boats and get us up.
I had something. It's like Nathan Fillion, John Barrowman, and they could have a sexy off, and I don't know who the third one because I'm dumb.
Well, probably some hot chicks that you could have some fun to.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Completely impractical.
B. If you could change entirely into a furry character of a species and gender you designate, but never have an option to go back and a significant chance society will hate you for it, would you go for it?
Nah.
I don't know. I mean, I could see pros and cons. I would love to be a Chukka, but it would be a big thing to... Yeah.
So... My initial instinctive reaction is no, because I'm perfectly happy with my life. But the other part of me is like, yes, society would hate you, but if I became my character, not furry society, because they would all
want to... You would become the new god.
they'd all want to suck my cock. It would be great. or whatever. So, but I'm probably thinking no. If English was your second language, what would your first be? And no fuzz, pony is not a valid answer. See, here's where
I think they're the mistake confusing comes you in. For me.
Yeah, Savrid is the ultimate pony fag. I am like
pony speak English. I don't know about you.
I am his Padawan learner. I am just a pony fag in training. And yes, ponies in Equestria speak English. So I guess my answer would be Gallifreyan. Psych!
Oh, God. If it came down to a fictional language, I would speak Galactic Common from, like, Star Wars.
No, seriously, for me, it would be...
But real world, it'd be, like, German.
It'd be kind of cool. Well, actually, here, I wish I knew Spanish.
Yeah,
because
Spanish.
Here in Texas, it's a foreign language that I would actually be able to utilize on a daily basis.
Yeah. Spanish would be handy. I think I'd rather, like, speak Gaelic.
But it would be cool to speak something kind of interesting. Like, it'd be cool to know German or something, because then you could go to Euroferds and, you know, talk like a local.
Mm.
Or maybe just learn Dutch so that me and Alex could, like, yammer back and forth.
Oh, God,
in his native
then I could
tongue.
Actually... Well, my brother-in-law is Dutch, and all have to, and her kids speak Dutch too. So it's like that would I just fit in with a crowd there.
Cool. D, why did it just drop 30 degrees in 2 weeks? It was 90 Fahrenheit in California. It seems like yesterday.
California hates you.
It really has dropped remarkably recently, though. I had noticed that it's been cool here in Texas, which is nice. I've really enjoyed it, actually.
Mm.
But it's crept up a little the last couple days again.
It's supposed to drop off this weekend again.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I've been wearing, like, my heavy winter coat, and then I was really, really warm one day coming home, and I've just been wearing, like, my lighter jacket.
Since because then. Weather patterns are destabilizing across the planet. We're all going to die.
Thank you, Saverin. Question number E. Yes, number E. Why do we get more than 5 political calls per day? We don't even bother answering the phone at all these days.
Where are you from?
I've only got... He said California.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that a battleground state?
No, never.
It's solidly Democratic.
But there's lots of down-ticket, like, state-level races.
Yeah.
Because apparently you still have a landline phone.
Yeah.
Because I don't get any... I don't get calls.
Earlier this year, when Obama announced the his first tentative leap into LGBT support, as in like his open one, I turned around, I donated some money to his campaign. Uh-huh. Ever since then, I keep getting calls from him. It's like, look, I've already given you money. I don't have any more.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm sorry, I'm middle class. Go buck the 1%.
Yeah.
There's your political talk for today.
So.
F attached as a photo, who wants to make out with me?
It's not bad.
I don't make out with random people. I just fuck.
Yeah.
I only want to make out with my boyfriend. G, Fuzz's thoughts on Fallout Equestria. Well, since I am not the ultimate pony fag, I have not read Fallout Equestria. And I really don't have time to read fanfic. And even if I did, oh my god, it's like how many hundreds of thousands of words.
Fallout Equestria is longer than like the War and Peace, the Bible, and the Lord of the Rings combined. Something ridiculous like that. It's retardedly long.
So have you read any of it, Savern?
I read part of it, and then I was like, oh, wait, I don't really like the Fallout universe, and I really don't like it mixed with ponies, so I shrugged and didn't read any more of it, because there's way better stories out there.
Oh, you heard it here first, kids.
Savern doesn't like Fallout Equestria. Cue the torches and pitchforks.
Ooh, and Pinkie Pie is first pony. What?
She would annoy the shit out of me if she was real.
That's very true. But if she would share her cocaine with me, I wouldn't care.
Yeah. If she would share the special sugar she snorts each day.
And my pony's name is Snorty Pie. And not because he has allergies. No. Also, I demand that Shiva comes up with a weekly recipe every episode for the holiday season. I have to find something to impress my extended family with. End of message, Motoku Yu. So you got some bacon to do, or you got some splaining to do about your bacon.
Cookie getting baking. Is coming.
Is it?
Yes.
I thought it was in the middle of the year for some reason. Is it towards the end of the year?
No, I do it right before Christmas, because I end up giving out a lot of cookies as Christmas gifts.
Ah.
So yes, cookie getting is coming.
Okay, cool. Boom, 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 boom.
Yes. Well, I was actually thinking about doing some recipes if people wanted to hear them, so.
Mm, okay.
And let's see. Final one. Awkward questions.
Yay, awkward questions.
Sorry for my first time writing in being kind of awkward, but I'll just go with it. Which of you guys is the best hung?
Shiva. I think we determined that, right?
Them dang chicats.
Yeah.
What are your guys' preferred roles in sex? Top, bottom, sub, dom, switch?
Yes.
All of the above.
I think that would be switch then in that case.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't really in the traditional terms of it, I don't have any choice but to bottom because I always receive, except when I'm pegging.
But you're dominant.
But I am dom, so.
Yeah.
So, fem dom, so.
Hey, fem dom is a thing.
Yeah, I know.
So, are you ever sub or switch? Or?
I do sometimes switch. It's rare, though. It's like 90% time dom, and then occasionally I'll get in a subby mood. But it's only with, I can only do it with full partners. As in, if it's I'm just playing with a friend or something, I'm pretty much always
dom. No junior partners.
No.
This is like a law firm.
Well, I'm talking about like friends and such like that. I tend to be purely dom. If it's casual, I can only really go subby with someone I trust really, really strongly.
Yeah. Subbing to someone else, that's definitely a trust thing. I can totally see that. Okay.
Shiva, do your two mates interact often? What do they think of each other? Also, any three-way sexy times? Feel free to not answer. I'm just curious, as I am in a three-way relationship as well. Thanks for your time, everyone. Reverie Wolf. Well, we all live together. So, you know, we all live in the same house. There's two separate bedrooms. And they only interact with each other pretty much as roommates / friends. Sarah's bi, Siam is straight as an arrow. So not really anything directly interacting. We've had one three-way session that was a birthday gift for me. It was very interesting. I don't know if it'll happen again, but it was interesting. As far as I know.
Go on.
Did it involve Sarah's ass?
No, it did not involve Sarah's ass.
Damn, the story's not interesting.
Well, in that it was present, because it's hard for him to be there without it.
Yeah, he didn't, like, forget it in the other room or anything.
Yeah.
That would look weird.
That'd be a severe case of butthurt.
I don't know quite what... I mean, they seem to like each other just fine, but they're friends. That's about it. They live with each other. They annoy each other in different ways. They like each other okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, super close friendship. But then again, Siam doesn't know Sarah as well as I do, and they're still kind of getting to know each other.
Yeah, you kind of know them inside and out.
You're bad.
I know.
You're really bad.
Ooh, so, he's cute.
Is it a furry or a person?
Furry. Ah. Spotted skunk.
Oh, that is cute.
On Rucus and Myenia's mailing list.
Ooh.
I see.
They send out some nice pictures.
They do good work.
Yes, they do.
So.
There we go.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to be on next week's show. I may not. It depends on how much I'm tearing my hair out over my mom coming next
week. Yeah, you might want to escape for a while by coming and doing the show.
Well, she's not going to be here yet, so it might be my last night of
freedom
with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus I have to clean the house and make sure, you know, everything. I don't have any porn hung up anymore, so I don't have to defurfag my house too much. And she knows I draw animal people. I've drawn them since I was in high school, you know, and they know I'm part of Furry Fiesta. I tell them about this convention thing I help with. And I told them, you remember the Ninja Turtles I drew as a kid? Well, like that on a grand scale.
Mm.
So I've told them about how many people and some of the stuff that's going on. So I don't really have to hide it from my parents because they know I'm weird.
Right.
But I also don't wave my flag like, Mom, Dad, I'm a furry. It's just another shit.
No! What did we do wrong?
So the end result is they just think I'm a weird nerd.
We raised her to be a Narutard, not a furry.
Actually, they've kind of raised me to be a Trekkie.
Okay.
I mean, but even they weren't that bad, but still.
Yeah.
I
just looked at that picture. That's funny.
So it's going to be interesting. I'm going to see how much shit I got to do next Friday, and if the guys want to go out and like do a movie before the 4.5 days of hell begins.
God.
Oh, I've had some really nice visits with this woman, and I
sorry, just like
what the hell is that, Severin?
It's horror made manifest.
Well, I've told you about the incident in Oz, right? No.
You were in prison?
No.
Not that Oz.
So okay. She came over to Australia for my wedding to my ex-husband. My dad came too, along with his other half. They had recently divorced, like, within the last 8 months. No. So you can imagine that was high tension.
Yeah.
They were both there for the wedding. Then my dad took off for like a stay at like a resort for a couple days. So he was out from underfoot when my mom was still visiting. And then once she left, he came back to spend the rest like another week with me.
Right.
So my mom came over, and she, between seeing my dad with a new woman and just being her usual self, she was really just being I hate to say it, she's being a bitch. Mm-hmm. Very self-centered, very,
Oh, for goodness sake.
Is that me?
No, it's me.
So, my mom's come all the way across the ocean, and yeah, she spent a lot of money doing it, but it was still... It was supposed to be my wedding, and instead of going on a honeymoon, we kind of stayed to entertain the out-of-town guests.
Mm-hmm.
we did a lot of local stuff because they just spend a lot of money to come over to Oz.
Yeah.
So we take my mom up and down the area, take her on tours and everything else like that. At the end of the day, there was usually a couple biting comments about how we had failed in some way or, you know, how she was subtly disappointed. Well, we had gone down to... my mom loves the ocean. She grew up on the East Coast. She lives in Rhode Island. She has always told me about some of her favorite things to do was to go to the ocean, spend a day on the beach, the set and the other thing. So we thought a really awesome thing to do was to take her to some of Sydney's beaches because Sydney has some beautiful beaches.
Mm-hmm.
We figured, okay, well, now you can say that you've been in the ocean on this side of the world, gone to one of the most famous beaches because we took her down to Manly Beach, which is one of the more well-known beaches in Sydney. So we drove down and traveled in with the mother-in-law and everybody else. It was my husband, Siam, my mom, my husband's mother, his stepdad, were all went down to this one big rented van we have. We went down there. We took a ferry across to Manly. We took the ferry back. And just... So we get over to Manly, and my mom won't go in the water. It's like, we've brought you all the way to the beach. It's a nice day. It's kind of warm. It's beautiful. Go in the beach weather. And she would not go into the water. It was like, so me, my husband, Siam, go in the water. We keep trying to call her in to, you know, look, she's wearing her suit under her clothes. There's changing rooms. Look, come in the water so you can say that you've been in the water in Australia. You've been to the beach. And she just was being a no. So we wrap up, and by this time, we're heading back to heading back home, and me and Siam and my husband, we're all talking. Well, my mom, his mom, and his stepdad lag behind. And it was like, oh, well, what do we want to do for dinner? We want to show her we've done this for dinner, we've done that, we've taken her here, we've taken her there. What do we want to do for dinner? Well, when she went over to Netherlands to my sister's, because she was living there with her Dutch husband, they loved shawarma, which is basically meat in a wrap and sauce and all this other stuff. Well, they've got the doner kebab, which is kind of the Aussie version of it. It's like, well, they really like that, and this is really tasty. You know, let's keep showing her some of the Aussie street food. And so we're kind of suggesting... talking about, it's like, well, let's do this. And so we'd actually put some thought into this and some real, you know, let's do something neat for mom.
Yeah.
So we're lagging behind. And then we meet up. We basically stopped and they walk like catch up like 10 feet. So two parties come together. It's like, well, look, mom, there's that over there. And it's like there's a shop to where we could just go and have dinner because everybody was starving. And my mother starts pissing a shit fit at me. Like, oh, well, we're going to, like, Hard Rock Cafe Sydney. And basically acting devastated that we had made these plans, which we hadn't. And I was now vastly disappointing her because I had crushed this promised thing, which I knew nothing about. And it turns out that she and my mother-in-law and my stepfather father-in-law had been talking about doing this behind us, and I hadn't heard him. I had no idea. And she basically just lays into me about basically crushing her, like ruining this plan that I was apparently supposed to know about because I was supposed to be eavesdropping, I guess, instead of having my own discussion. And she just goes off on me, and I had it, and I just had it. And I basically laid into her verbally back and basically told her off for, look, you know, you've always told us it was rude to eavesdrop. Two, we were trying to do something new. Why are you getting on my ass about something that I had no idea about? And just on and on and on. And when you piss me off, I tend to have a smart mouth.
Mm.
Especially, I don't have a lot of patience for her when she's been doing this shit to me for, like, the past week.
Mm.
Well, we're in the busy of like a boardwalk. We're about, I don't know, 1,000 yards from Manly Beach. It's a street lined with shops on either side. There's people walking. So we're in a public place, and she hauls off, and she slaps me across the face. Just wham. And I'm like, and without thinking, I turned around and I smacked her back right across the face.
Shit.
It's like, I am 26 years old, or 27. It's 27 at that point down. I am 27 years old. You do not slap me across the face in the middle of a public venue, you know, when I've been doing my ass to drag you all over the place to show you a good time, and you've been a miserable bitch the entire time about it because you're mad because Dad's off with a new woman. So I slapped her ass back, and, you know, I'd had my nails done.
Oh, shit, for the wedding.
For the wedding. So I had, like, fake nails on. I broke my little pinky off. My pinky nail tore off. I cut her lip with them because I'm not used to having claws. I always keep my nails super short.
Right.
Well, I broke my nail off on her face. I knocked a tooth loose, which later came out, but she had dental problems already. So it's not that I hit her that hard.
Okay.
It was
thanks
just
for
enough,
clarifying.
It was just enough to knock loose an already bad tooth. And she was mad at me. Which, to be fair, you're not supposed to hit your parents. But your parents aren't supposed to hit you when you're 27 years old in the middle of a busy boardwalk. So she basically threw a temper tantrum at me on my wedding. It was like 2 days after my wedding.
Yeah.
When I had been going through hell and high water to impress this woman and make sure she had a good time because, yes, it was nice that she came over, but it was also a big expenditure. So I want to make sure that this was a memorable trip, and not because I hit my mother.
Mm-hmm.
A memorable trip to a foreign country in an amazing place. You know, I took her to, like, all kinds of wildlife refuges. We took her hither and yon, just showing her all these neat things that we had discovered over there. You know, that at least as an American, we don't have access to. Like, the fact that there's huge flocks of cockatoos that are wild, and they just fly overhead making this incredible noise, and parrots are wild and everywhere over there. So, and nothing I did impress the woman. She was just being a miserable bitch. And then she hit me in the middle of a boardwalk. It's like, so between embarrassment and everything else like that, I hit her back. And it was a really tense couple days. And we eventually kind of made up, like, after talking about it and a lot of yelling again. And basically me telling her that she'd been a miserable bitch this entire time. But yeah, she'd been going through a divorce. She was not happy with having to face Dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't going to, you know, say no, Dad couldn't come to my wedding, especially since he accepted first.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to say, you know, you can't bring your new woman because I liked her. This is the woman that's coming to visit for the next couple days. We've had...
I'm almost tempted to say, you know what? Don't try to impress her.
Oh,
don't get wrapped up in the idea of making it this thing.
Yeah, and over the next couple years, me and my relationship with her became very, look, I'm done with your shit. This is how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time we interact, if you make, you know, become a miserable bitch, I'm going to walk away. And my sisters had to adopt the kind of the same philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But during their breakup, like I said, my dad would, he was really good. He'd bite his tongue. He'd really try not to badmouth my mom. And only when me and my sister started complaining would he slip a little and start, and then he'd rein himself in and go, no, we're not doing this. My mom, meanwhile, would call me and my sister up and badmouth my dad 6 ways from Sunday. And it came down to there was a couple of times when my mom called where she just basically called and told me horrible things about my dad, which, as far as I know, weren't true. And at one point, she had really upset me and basically called me an ingrate and all this other stuff. And Siam took the phone away from me and yelled at her and told her to stop being a cunt. And ever since then, she and Siam have not liked each other. So
hopefully you will have an interesting but not too interesting tale.
She's promised to behave. She's promised to be on her best behavior.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, so at least she is cognizant that there's friction there.
Yeah.
Well, some people can be really deluded.
The thing is I like my mother. I do like her overall. It's just... she's almost impossible. There's always a second shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. She does the poor, sad. The only way I can think of it is the Jewish mom, where there's always a subtle sense of you've failed or you've disappointed her in some way. You think you've done so good, but there's this little like brace of, when's it coming? I know it's coming. She's going to be subtly disappointed in me somehow. How is it going to be this time? And it always comes.
It's because you're not a Trekkie or a furry.
I don't know. I think it's because she thinks I don't pay enough attention to her. Which, she's a miserable son of a bitch, so I don't spend a lot of time with her. So
it kind of feeds into it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to spend a lot of time with someone when they're constantly miserable.
So you may or may not be with us next week. So
yeah, I may or may not be getting drunk and praying for, you know...
Sarah and I may have to do fox and wolf things together. So.
Yeah.
Oh, it
might be cool.
So I should just drop off a bottle of lube and be on my way.
Yeah. like a big bottle, like a 2 liter of lube.
They sell those. I've seen them.
Yeah.
We still have to get.
Maybe
like...
you can bring that thing over and we can do the video.
But I haven't made the package yet. I have stuff to put it in, but I haven't made like labels that I wanted to make.
You really should take a time and do that.
I'm off 2 days next week. I have a lot of work to catch up on, and after I get caught up on the work, I'm going to have fun with the project. Not that kind of fun. It's not going to come used either. Well, oh, that's one of my poops. Sorry. the look Saverin gave me. No, and I'm not bringing the lube over to have sex with Saverin. I'm just going to coat him in lube.
I'll slip around on the floor like a fish.
Yeah, just...
kitchen.
We're going to put tarps everywhere, and then we're just going to slip and slide
look
across
I'm
the living
seven.
Room. Yeah, your inner spirit animal is a salmon. We have to flop upstream to spawn.
Line that back hallway with blue tarp and swim upstream to the spare bathroom.
Yes. And then spawn by jerking off in the bathroom. And then die.
I love how Saverin's ignoring us.
He does that so much. Just hangs his head like, sigh.
I don't want to swim upstream and die after coming.
I wonder what goes through his head. It's like, 1 week he's sticking his balls in my ass, and now he's covering me with lube, and I'm spawning, and I don't even know what's going on anymore.
I'm just going to do that. Someday I'm going to get a couple blue tarps, and I'm going to leave it in a giant bottle of lube on Saverin's doorstep. And he's just going to open the door. Or Panther will go and go, what?
Saverin will open the door and just be like,
sigh. It's spawning season again.
See, now you're a Therian, Saverin. You're a salmon.
Man, the more I know.
He's another salmon.
We can't have that salmon vodka anymore, because you'll be like, no, not the blood of my people! So what's next week's topic, Saverin?
The spawning season?
I don't know. I don't know.
We'll think of something.
Yeah.
So on that note.
Good night.
Can you say it, Shiva?
Big balls.